Devil House, written and read by John Darnielle, featuring original music by John Darnielle and Matt Douglas. The warp and wobble of aging tape, managing to sound both bubbly and professional, a hard combination to hit. Thank you for calling New Visions Properties. This is Whitney Burnett. None of our associates can take your call at this time. It was a woman's voice, maybe someone in her 20s. I start categorizing people from the moment I first meet them. It's a good habit to pick up if you're going to try to put stories together from the messy, loose ends of people's actual lives. I imagined a young woman who at some unfixed point down the line intended to own her own business, a person whose ambitions were modest and who had more drive than she really needed to meet them. Please leave us a brief message telling us how we may be assistance to you, and we will return your call. If you require immediate assistance, you may reach me on my mobile phone. Here, she sounded out the number twice, area code included, in a cool, forceful voice that made me feel obligated to follow through. Thank you and have a pleasant day. I left a clumsy message, talking for longer than I needed to and interrupting myself frequently, but when Whitney called back an hour later, she cut directly to the chase. I would love to show you the property, she said. It's actually a really nice old building. I should warn you, it's kind of a mess right now, though. But it's nice, you'll see it. It's had a lot of lives. In the 50s, it was even a soda shop for a while. About the soda shop, I already knew. I hadn't been able to find many stories about it online, but small scraps I'd managed to dig up, postings and local listservs, scanned pictures on people's still-standing angel fire sites, all mentioned what a nice place it had been once upon a time. It was called the Sunliner Grill back then. The building itself had origins dating a full century back, but there are no records of its function prior to the Ford Motor Company's announcement in 1954 of intentions to open their Central California plant in Milpitas the following year. Few locals remember the soda shop now. The population wasn't yet young enough to support one, and there were two well-liked restaurants just down the road on Main Street, one of which had a license to serve alcohol. The Sunlighter Grill did not survive the decade. The building's timeline gets murky after that. I've been told once or twice that someone ran a hardware store out of it, but I haven't found any proof. Briefly, in the early 70s, someone seems to have had the bright idea to turn it into some kind of theater. A clipping from the Mercury News about regional growth makes note of an anomalous little cinder block building near the freeway, referring to, quote, the short-lived, unlamented Night People Cinema, end quote. But the article offers no further details. A single-screen movie house in a building so small in the shadow of the freeway feels almost unfathomably optimistic. Sometime after 1974, when the completion of Interstate 680 seemed to guarantee future traffic through town, somebody took out a lease on the building and began operating a newsstand out of it. The newsstand became a porn store and then a sort of house in which a crime took place, about which I knew mainly what Ashton had told me over the phone. Some teenagers